Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Game over, man.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks just fell to the Edmonton Oilers 4-3 in overtime. Hawks found themselves down 3-1 in this hockey game, score twice in the third to force overtime, but a power play for Edmonton in overtime was almost a lock that they were going to score that on a 4-on-3 as we bring in Troy Murray to help us break down this hockey game. Thoughts on the overall effort by Chicago? We were talking about it at the end of the first and the second. We did not mind at all where the Blackhawks were at that point in the hockey game, but you knew that Edmonton was going to push in that third, and they get those two quick ones early on.
Yeah, I thought the Hawks really competed, and their speed in this game was really impressive. I mean, they matched the Oilers in the speed game. That the Oilers are as good as anybody in the NHL. I thought that they stripped pucks away. They back-checked hard. They were tracking pucks. They forced the Edmonton team to make some plays that you wouldn't normally characteristically see them make. But there was the pressure coming from it, and I thought it was just an excellent game. Everybody moved their feet. It was a very entertaining game. Goaltenders were great. Shots on goal, 38-32, so lots of opportunities at both ends of the ice. And I thought the Blackhawks really acquitted themselves extremely well in this game. They didn't get the results they were looking for, and unfortunately just kind of a sloppy too many men on the ice penalty in overtime gave the Oilers, as you mentioned, four of the most dangerous players in the NHL the opportunity to close the deal for the Oilers. But this was a real solid effort. I really liked a lot of the guys' play.
15 shots on goal for the Blackhawks in the first period. They finished with 32. It's the most they've had shots on goal in a game since December 9th, which was the 2-1 win over the Rangers. Anders Sorensen's first win as a coach. So it's almost 2 months ago that the Blackhawks, the last time they hit 32 shots on goal.
Yeah, and they got to continue to do that. They got to figure out a way to cut down the shots. But I thought that they spent a lot more time in the offensive zone. They really worked hard to win battles and keep plays alive in the offensive zone. So that kind of took some of the offense away from the Oilers. And if you play a normal team, not the Edmonton Oilers, and you know there's a few other teams obviously in that category as well, but if you put pressure on teams like that are in the middle of the pack, you're going to get some really good results. So they didn't get the results they were looking for in this game, but I think in the process they realized, I mean, man, we can skate with these guys. We got to clean up some of the mistakes that we made, and you can't turn pucks over to the Oilers or any other team for that matter. But I thought that as a team, the Blackhawks created a lot of turnovers by Edmonton because of the pressure that they had. I mean, Donato was great. Mikheyev was good. Slagert was very noticeable. Everybody was playing well in this game.
The Blackhawks they've faced Edmonton three times this year, and all three of those games, they've played them very well. The first one was a 5-2 win, the third game of the season in Edmonton, and then the last meeting here at the United Center, which was it was the Hockey Night in Canada game on January 11th, the Hawks held 2-0 and 3-1 leads, and in that game, Edmonton had just one power play, and McDavid was held to 0 points and was a -2. And in this game, the Hawks went 3-for-3 on the penalty kill in regulation, and Connor McDavid had 0 points in regulation, only 2 shots, and had zero shots through 40 minutes. Like, if I told you that before the game, in both of those games, like you would give the Blackhawks a decent chance to pick up points in the game, but unfortunately they have just 1 point to show for it in the last four in these last two meetings against Edmonton.
Yeah, but you know, you got to look at the big picture, right? I mean, you know, that's what you're talking about here. If you looked at it and you said, okay, if we can shut down McDavid, who, by the way, was a -2 in this game, I think, did you mention
that? But so, no, I was saying he was a -2 last game, so that's -4 in the last two games.
Yeah, you know, and those aren't Connor McDavid's numbers, and maybe he's one of the guys that is feeling a little bit of the flu bug that's going around inside the Oilers' locker room. But if you look at just the shots on goal, 38-32 in favor of the Oilers, but the shot attempts 65-56 in favor of the Blackhawks. That's one of the better numbers that they've had in a long time. So they did have some offensive zone time. They did have the Oilers on their heels at certain times, the way that they were playing. But, you know, Pickard played well for the Oilers. But, you know, if you look at the way that the third period kind of panned out, you got the big goal right at the end of the second period by Reichel, and then all of a sudden two quick goals by Edmonton to start the third period. But they didn't quit. I mean, they kept skating. They kept at it. And, you know, for them to come back and score, you know, two goals at the end of this game against the Oilers, the building was rocking. Everybody was all excited. Great chances right up until the overtime. And then all of a sudden, and Teravainen hits the crossbar with, what, 1 second, two seconds left. You know, if that had gone in, that this place would have erupted. But, you know, you get a little bit sloppy on your line change there. And Teravainen steps on the ice and takes the pass off his skate from the Oilers defenseman, Bouchard. And Connor Bedard didn't have a lot left in the tank. I think he was about out there for about a minute and 16, minute and 18. And 3-on-3, when you're out there going back and forth, that really taxes you. And he just didn't have the speed to get off the ice. And, you know, in that situation, he's got to hustle off, knowing that maybe, you know, that could be the difference in the game. And in this one, unfortunately, it was.
Scoring chances at even strength in this game were 29-19 in favor of Chicago.
There you go.
It's the fourth best scoring chance percentage by Chicago in a game this season at even strength. So, I mean, that's 60.4%. You control the scoring chances. I mean, it is really, really solid game for Chicago.
Yeah, and I, you know, good for you, your analytics and, you know, all that kind of
you
stuff.
You stick to your -2 rating.
No, but the eye test was telling me that the Hawks had those opportunities and the offensive zone chances, and they kept plays alive. And I really like the way that they went after pucks in this game. And you look at Slaggart and his first shift on the ice, he stripped Connor McDavid twice. You know, Donato is one of those guys. And why is Donato having such a great season? Because he works hard, and he works hard every single shift. He even says it, you know, I focus on this, and this is something that, you know, he really takes a lot of pride in, that every shift that he is out there, he doesn't take it for granted that he's going to get another one. And whether he's in the lineup or whether he's not, he's going to do the best he can to make it tough on the coaches. And, you know, how do you take him out of there? He's got 16 goals on the season, and that's the second highest mark on the team other than Bertuzzi, 17. So, you know, a guy that, you know, probably was penciled in as an extra type of forward at the beginning of the season, plays a lot on the fourth line, finds himself second in scoring just because of how hard he works.
This is why we complement each other well, because I give you the numbers of what your eye test is seeing, and I'm confirming that your eye test is correct. So I'm confirming.
And my eyes are bad, by the way.
You talked about actually, let's go to this. Apparently, Anders Sorensen is just speaking to the media, and he said the Jason Dickinson injury does not look good. That's an unfortunate situation for Chicago, because he is their shutdown center. You know, like, he went up against Leon Draisaitl in this hockey game, and so he ended up leaving the game in the second period, and so that's going to be a tough loss for Chicago if he's out for an extended period of time.
Yeah, it didn't look good when he went off the ice. We get you had your computer there, which is, you know, there you go, you're a computer guy. Pulled up the replay, and unfortunately his skate got locked up with Pod Colson of the Oilers, and he went down awkwardly, and he knew it right away. He reached right down and grabbed his left leg, and, you know, Dickinson's such a big part of this team, big part of the leadership core in there. If this is a significant injury, you know, that's a tough one for him and the team, because he's such a big part of everything.
I remember talking to Kyle Davidson at the end of last season, or it was like right after they had re-signed Jason Dickinson to a two-year extension, and, you know, I was just talking about like what the thought process was, because he probably would have garnered a fairly significant return because he was playing so well. And Davidson, he had told me, he was like, you know, the second you trade a Jason Dickinson, you're immediately trying to replace the Jason Dickinson. You know, you're trying to find another Jason Dickinson. So he's been a valuable part of this Blackhawks team, the shutdown guy. And so,
well, and he's the only guy kind of down the middle that has any size.
Right.
You know, if you're looking at the guys that were in the center position for the Hawks in this game, it's Reichel, who's, you know, 180 pounds, and then Nazar and Bedard, certainly not big players. So the one guy that you had down the middle that did have some size was Jason Dickinson. So if he's not available to the lineup, and he's not going to be around for the short time, and hopefully it's not the long time. But at the same time, that's going to be a big void down the middle.
And he's the guy that can take like 20 faceoffs a game. Like, he's like really the true primary center on this team that can win draws. And so not to have him is going to be a burden on some of these other players that are going to have to fill that role too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough loss. I mean, it's a big loss. And, you know, now you look down, what's in Rockford, who can play center? You know, Donato can go back and play center. I wouldn't be surprised if that wouldn't be the option moving forward here. You know, Kurashev, healthy scratch, he could come back in and play, but that doesn't give you a whole lot of size down the middle that Dickinson does. So it's going to be a frustrating, you know, time for Dickinson, because, you know, he's a battler and he works hard, and I don't think this is one that he can fight his way through if it's a significant injury, obviously.
We survived the 8:53 puck drop. It was scheduled for 8:52, but it was actually 8:53. I looked at my clock.
Well, that's why I'm so tired.
Yeah.
That extra minute.
We're only going to midnight on this postgame show, so fortunately for us, we don't have to be here too much longer, because, it was a long day today. Got an extra long nap. I know you did.
I did, and they threw an optional out there this morning, so I didn't
you
work
took
my
the optional
way.
Too.
I took the optional. And
all right, normal, you know, 7:30 next.
Fun game though. I mean, a very, very, very even game, and I thought the Oilers may be a little bit sloppy in the way that they could execute. But I think you got to give, and again, I do this when, you know, the Hawks are having trouble, that got to give credit to where it's due. And I think the Blackhawks created a lot of the problems for the Oilers in this game, and unfortunately, they just weren't able to finish it off. Gutsy
right.
effort.
Yep. All right, good stuff. You were on your A game. Despite being a little sleepy, you know? I'm just kidding. All of us were. All right, that's going to do it for this first segment of the Blackhawks post-game show. I believe we're having some sound roll in from the locker room, so hopefully we'll be able to play that on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Blackhawks post-game show on 720 WGN.
Bedard works it free to Donato, left wing corner, put it out, far circle, shot by Martinez, he scores! What an effort by the Hawks, five out there! Ryan Donato took the puck in the left wing corner and fed Alec Martinez, who was wide open in the right wing circle for that shot. His third goal on the year ties this game at three with 3:44 left in the third.
Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show, that was a fun third period. Edmonton gets two to open things up, and then Chicago responds with two later on to tie it up and force overtime. That was Alec Martinez's third goal of the season, and he just spoke with the media. Let's listen in.
Fairway.
Okay. I know it was an overtime loss, but it looks like you guys did a lot of good things in this one. Are you happy with the overall game that you guys were able to put out there for the most part tonight?
I mean, proud of the way the guys battled back. But I don't know, I'm not really one for moral victories. So, like I said, you know, proud of the way the guys battled back, but, you know, it's a tough spot to put ourselves in. You know, obviously, we all know who's on the, you know, who's in the other locker room, some of the top players in the world, if not the top. So you give them an opportunity, puts us in a tough spot, but proud of the way the guys battled back.
How big a loss is Dickinson?
Yeah, that's a guy that you can't just replace. I mean, obviously, he's reliable. He's good in the circle. He's, you know, reliable defensively. He can contribute to both ends of the rink.
Was that a particularly tough penalty to give the Oilers that opportunity in overtime?
I mean, I think it's just, it happens quick. It's, you know, just trying to be quick on a change, and it's a skate. I mean, that's hockey. Stuff like that happens from time to time.
How would you assess the team game overall?
I thought we did a pretty good job. I thought we had a really solid F3, stayed over top their speed. I thought that we consistently did that. Obviously, you know, we got to put 60 minutes together, and, you know, a couple of those breakdowns at, you know, at the beginning of the third. But, you know, I guess a pretty good game, but in this league, you got to play 60 if you want to win. Or 65 in this case.
Yeah.
How do you think young guys like Nazar and Slager held up in their first battle with this team?
I think those guys have, you know, done a good job of contributing. I think, you know, they're finding their way and trying to find, you know, their role and things like that. And, you know, those guys have, the young guys have brought a lot of energy and I thought they did a good job tonight.
Thank you. All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Alec Martinez talking about this 4-3 overtime loss to the Edmonton Oilers. It was Ryan Donato that picked up the primary assist on Martinez's goal. And earlier in the third period, Donato scored his 16th goal of the season, which tied a career high and also tied his career high in points. And then that primary assist that he earned on Martinez's goal ended up being the 32nd point of the season, which is now a new career high. So congrats to Ryan Donato, who continues his awesome season for Chicago. Let's hear what he had to say to the media after this loss.
It's a particularly tough way to lose this one after you guys battled back twice.
Yeah, no, it's definitely tough. I think Sody played a heck of a game, and, you know, he deserved better. But the fact that we put ourselves in that position is on us, right? I mean, you can look at the bright side and say, yeah, we battled back, but, you know, if we did that without letting them have their chances and played that way and played desperate, you know, maybe it could have gone a different way.
How tough is it to lose Dickinson?
Very. I mean, he's the ultimate teammate, ultimate guy. He's such a great person off the ice and such a great leader on the ice. And, you know, I'm not too sure I haven't seen it or seen him after or talked to him yet, but, you know, hopefully everything's okay with him.
What do you see on that tying goal play?
Marty puts himself in a great spot, and, you know, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, you can trust that he's going to shoot it when he gets a chance. And, you know, he's got a great shot, and he did a good job of putting it away.
What does this say that you guys could contain a team like the Oilers for the most part, you know, playing disciplined defense?
Yeah, I think that's the key phrase, though, right, for the most part. Like, you can't just be for the most part in this league. The guys are too good. You got to be, you know, every shift. And, you know, I think it's on us, the guys in this room, to be desperate every shift and, you know, not take a shift off. And they're the best players in the world on the other team, two of them, and, you know, they're going to put the puck away when you give them one little chance. So, yeah, it's on us.
Thanks,
Ryan. That was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato. We have more to get to here on the Blackhawks postgame show, including our save of the game. And then hopefully we'll hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen on the other side. You're listening to 720 WGN.
He put the puck in front of the net. Skinner fires once and then twice. Soderblom down with a butterfly save. And then from his belly, he kicked it wide. He had some assistance from Connor Murphy as well. Outstanding defensive sequence by the Hawks.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. Boy, Arvid Soderblom was awesome in this game. Stopped 34 shots on 38 attempts for the Edmonton Oilers. And boy, he made some real good ones here. I wrote down one on Jeff Skinner in the first period that was excellent. He made a couple huge saves in the second period as well. One of them on Matthias Janmark. He made a highlight reel type save on Darnell Nurse later in the second period as well. So, man, he showed up in this hockey game. Although I will say the unofficial save of the game in this one goes to Lucas, who is the Blackhawks senior coordinator of events and experience. Before the game, there was John's laughing as he's walking out. There was a bat flying around in the United Center, and Lucas brought out a net, and I have no idea how he did this. It was so effortless because the net wasn't very big, and he snatched that bat out of midair and drew an amazing ovation from the crowd as he did it. So shout out to Lucas for our unofficial save of the game, but Soderblom gets our actual official save of the game, and he was awesome in this hockey game for the Blackhawks. Let's hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen to see what his thoughts were on this 4-3 overtime loss to Edmonton.
Jason Dickinson walk out of here with the walking boot on his left foot. How is he doing?
Not good, but we'll see where he's at tomorrow.
You're not expecting great news at this point. Might be some time out.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. But
how much of a
emotional blow is that, knowing all the things that Dickinson does?
Yeah, I mean, he's valuable for us, right? He does a lot of, you know, PK and a lot of face-offs, tough matchups. So, but I thought a lot of guys stepped up after his absence here when he got hurt.
Just the game overall, it looked like you guys did a lot of good things. I mean, some lapses early in the third, but overall it looked like a very good game for you for the most part.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a lot more good than negative, so to speak. But that's the difference, right? Like when you have those little lapses. But we really feel like the pushback after being down 3-1, we showed a lot of resilience there and coming back. And that was really positive and really good to see for our group.
How would you assess the team game overall?
Yeah, like I said, definitely more good than negatives. I thought it was overall a good game.
Seemed like the Slager, Bedard, Donato line came out in the first period, like the first four shifts, like really good generating chances. But what was your overall take of them?
Yeah, I thought they were good. I thought off the rush, we had a couple of turnovers there that we, you know, obviously kind of hurt us a little bit. But other than that, I thought they generated. And then when Dickey left, there was a little bit of a jumbling of lines. But then we kind of put them together here back in the third, and obviously it was a big goal for us, right?
The TNT panel kind of criticized Bedard for going for a line change before Edmonton's first goal. Would you like him to stay on there, or do you have any thoughts on that situation?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to look at it, you know.
We saw Connor Murphy look like he was in some pain in the second, but he did come back. He's okay, I guess.
Yeah, he finished the game, and I don't know exactly what it was, but it's something with his lower, with his leg there. I don't know if it was his knee or his ankle, but he finished, so should be good.
You have a body part.
It looked like a leg, right? We'll update tomorrow.
All right, that was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen shedding some light on an array of injuries in this hockey game. Connor Murphy blocked a shot. It was Ryan Donato's shot, and then Murphy was falling down, and it looked like the puck hit his left kneecap as it was bending. And so I don't know if there was much padding there as Connor was falling down. And then later in the game, too, I think Frank Nazar blocked a shot, and he was in some real pain on the bench trying to shake it off during a TV timeout. And then, of course, the big one, Jason Dickinson, looked like a left knee, if just kind of got twisted up. And man, he was putting very little weight on that as he skated to the Blackhawks bench. And man, it's going to be a real tough injury for Chicago if he's going to be out for an extended period of time. The Hawks are going to practice tomorrow at noon, so stick around for some updates where I'm sure the Blackhawks will shed a little bit more light on the severity of the injury. But if he left in a walking boot or whatever, that doesn't sound good for Dickinson. So we got one more break to get to here on the Blackhawks postgame show, and then we're going to wrap things up on 720 WGN.
Fed back for Roman Josi. Forsberg from the top of the right circle. He put it down in front, and the score by Marchessault. Beautiful tic-tac-toe setup. Marchessault finishes off a pass from Ryan O'Reilly.
That is the great Pete Weber of Nashville Radio, 102.5 The Game. That was the Nashville's last game against the Ottawa Senators. Unfortunately for Nashville, they did not win that hockey game, and it was their fifth consecutive loss, which leads us to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Hawks are going to be hosting Nashville on Friday, 7:30 puck drop. Thank goodness we get back to some normalcy on Friday. It's the last game here at the United Center before the Four Nations break for Chicago. So the next one after that is going to be February 23rd against the Toronto Maple Leafs, which, by the way, I believe the Blackhawks are wearing their Winter Classic jerseys in that hockey game. But back to Nashville, five straight regulation losses now. They're being outscored 20-8. In those five games, they had previously won five in a row, and they scored 21 goals in those five games. So they have completely done a 180. This is the worst team in the NHL when it comes to scoring five-on-five goals at 78. I think Calgary has the next fewest at 84, so a six-goal difference between 32nd and 31st. Really curious to see what Nashville is going to do ahead of the March 7th trade deadline, because it feels like you have to be sellers if you're the Predators. The question is to what degree, and I'm not sure their cap situation or some of the players on their roster are going to allow them to have a significant sell-off, because five guys on their roster have either a no movement clause or a no trade clause, and all five of those guys probably can throw in Ryan O'Reilly in there too as a sixth, because Barry Trotz has already come out and said the Predators are going to be treating Ryan O'Reilly like he has a full no movement clause, even though he doesn't, because that's how well respected he is. So yeah, real tough times in Nashville. This is not the season that they were expecting, given the offseason they've had with the signing of Jonathan Marchessault and Steven Stamkos and Brady Shea. But Blackhawks have an opportunity to finish off this final home game at the UC before the Four Nations break on a positive note against the struggling Predators. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich and our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Colin McCarthy. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and our fearless Colonel Brett Jackson back at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Ravaliotis, signing off after a 4-3 overtime loss to the Edmonton Oilers. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Friday night from the UC.